and whether you would like to comment on the rules today.
That little red arrow is now on BRPELS.
Okay, let me see if
post.
I can. Yeah, Carmina, can you move that little red button? Oh, I'm just listening in.
Sure, thank sure. You, who needs to be the host?
Shannon.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will do WebEx training right after this meeting, so we're all up to speed on. I apologize.
The recording started too. I started the recording.
Oh, you have? Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. Well, it's June 8th, 2022, and it's 1:11 p.m., and we are now on the record. So this is a recorded public hearing held by the Washington State Board of Registration for Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors, which I will refer to during the hearing as the board. My name is Ken Fuller, and I'm the director of the board and presiding officer over this hearing. This hearing is being held to elicit public testimony, both oral and written, with regards to the board's proposed rule change to a Washington Administrative Code, or WAC, Chapter 196-12, Registered Professional Engineers. This is a public hearing held both virtually and in person at the board's office located at 605 11th Avenue Southeast, Suite 201, Olympia, Washington. Public notice of this hearing was given by notice number WSR22-10-087, filed with the Code Revisor's Office on May 3rd, 2022, and by posting notice of the hearing and attendance instructions on the board's website. The proposed rules are available on the website, so go to the board's website, which you can find by typing in www.brpels.wa.gov and look for the rulemaking activity tab located on the homepage. These rules changes are proposed pursuant to the provisions of RCW 1843-035 and RCW 3405-020. The board is required to make a record of this hearing by stenograph, mechanical, or electrical means. Therefore, we are audio recording this hearing. Representatives of the Washington State Board are present today, and I'll let them introduce themselves with their name and title. So go ahead, Shannon. I don't know if Shannon's on mute. So Shannon Gillespie, our rules coordinator, is Elizabeth. So any other staff members on?
Sorry, we've all said our names and we were on mute. Okay, sorry. Shannon Gillespie, rules coordinator.
Communication and Outreach Manager.
Jill Short, Investigations Manager.
Rick Larson, Deputy Director.
Bonna.
Bonna Kramer, Licensing Lead.
And Carmina. Oh, Carmina.
Carmina Moretti, Executive Assistant to the Board.
And Elizabeth is not here.
Okay. The Board encourages anyone attending this hearing to ask questions and provide their comments today. If you do not wish to speak today, you may also submit written comments to the board at Shannon, S-H-A-N-A-N dot Gillespie, G-I-L-L-E-S-P-I-E at B-R-P-E-L-S dot W-A dot G-O-V. So Shannon dot Gillespie at Borples dot W-A dot gov. All written comments must be received by June 9th, 2022. Depending on the complexity of the comments in question, it is unlikely that the board will respond to your questions or comments today. And instead, the board is gathering all the questions and comments, both oral and written, for a comprehensive review. Based upon that review, the board will consider whether these proposed rules should be revised. Should the board decide not to make any substantive changes to the proposed rules, the board will provide written responses to all comments and questions in a single written document called the Concise Explanatory Statement. This will enable you to see the comments and questions and the responses in one location. The concise explanatory statement will be posted on the board's website, filed together with the CR 103 at the code revisor's office, and will be provided to anyone who makes a comment today or during the comment period. So, Ken, I need to say this before we begin with public comments, period. Has anyone else signed in the meeting who would like to provide public comments? And if anybody else has come on?
No.
Okay. At this time, we'll call on those who signed up to speak regarding proposed changes to WAC Chapter 19612. And you'll be called to speak in the order which you have signed in. And it is to assist in preparing the record, public hearing, and so that we can provide responses to your comments or questions. Individuals testifying today should state your name, provide contact information, and state you represent if you're testing on behalf of others. To make sure each person wanting to make comments has time to speak, we ask that you limit your testimony to 5 minutes or so, but we'll provide more time if necessary. Please note we collect contact information so we can provide copies of the concise explanatory statement to you. If you do not want to receive a response, you are not required to provide your contact information. The concise explanatory statement will be available on the board's website. Shannon.
Okay. So the first person we have is Richard Green, PE. If you could please state your name, who you're representing, and I will just ask you about your contact information before you leave today. Okay.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. As you can tell by the accent, I'm not an American native. I've been here for about 15 years. And if I can indulge myself a minute at some of my qualifications, I'm currently a PE registered in Washington, Oregon, New York, Texas, Colorado, and Montana. I am also a certified practitioner of CPN in Australia, on the International Professional Engineers Register and the APEC Engineers Register. I have been involved in writing structural standards for glass in Australia, the United States, where I was the founding chair of ASTM Structural Glass, and the only non-European invited as an expert on the European standard EC11 for structural use of glass. I put this here just as a representation that I'm a pretty good engineer. But the wording here, potentially, you would not be able to give me a license if I was trying to apply in Washington now. When I first came to the United States, there was a provision that if you could demonstrate 15 years of professional registration, that you are able to go directly to PE and without leaving the air. I think that if you can demonstrate that you've got an ABET course, you've got professional registration somewhere in the world, and you can pass the PE exam, you've probably got the fundamentals under your belt. There is also a principle within the engineering profession that you act within your realm of competency. And so myself as a specialist in building facades, where we're dealing with glass, aluminum, lightweight structures, and a whole bunch of materials which are not even covered in the SE2 exam, which I also passed, you know, there are things where going back and doing traffic control, hydrology, there's just a whole bunch of stuff in the FE exam that's just not relevant.
Mr. Green, could you move closer to your microphone or something? We can't understand you for part of it.
My apologies. You need me to repeat any of the material?
You might start back at the point of where the contention or the differences in the rules that you're. Okay. Yeah, I missed that part specifically. I'm sorry.
What I'm advocating for is there is Yeah, I am registered in multiple jurisdictions and around the world. Yet in the direction that this changes would require an FE or an equivalent exam. And what I'm advocating for is that a professional engineer that has many years of registration in another jurisdiction, whether that's the United States or internationally, and can pass the PE exam, it is reasonable that they should be able to get an exemption on the FE exam, or that the board would be able to have some discretion in determining whether that was required or not. And at the moment, the wording states that it is an FE exam or some equivalent. And that definition of equivalency appears to be difficult to either define or satisfy. And I think that that potentially leaves the board in a position where they could not give either a PE license or a PE entry to the PE exam. And potentially needs more discretion in their availability based on their judgment of the candidate. So that's kind of my comment, I guess. It's the board, I think, does an excellent job of ensuring that engineers are competent, but I think that there also needs to be a position where it has some discretion. To ensure that we're making good engineers available for service to the state of Washington. So that's the end of my comment. Point. I don't know whether it's appropriate that I should like provide written proposals or just leave it as comment. That's like you could give me some guidance on that.
Yeah, Shannon, is it possible that you could summarize Mr. Green's comment? I mean, is it, and just verify, because I wanted to make sure we
Well, what I heard understood. Was you're requesting there be some kind of provision for to waive the FE exam. It's the FE waiver issue again.
Right.
We were advised by our AAG that we didn't have in statute the authority to waive the EIT or the fundamentals exam. That's, we had one in our rules and we did away with it in 2015 because we were told we didn't have the authority, but the board is currently working on legislation on changing or amending 1843 that would, right, Ken? They're currently working on
right.
1843 for those people that are licensed in other jurisdictions, including foreign jurisdictions, I believe. So it's FE
okay.
waiver, it's the FE waiver requirement, not the equivalency.
Mr. Green, does that summarize your request correctly?
It's 90% of it. I think within the current revisions, which are shown as underlined, it requires an FE exam or equivalent. And
right.
I have not been able to track what that or equivalent means. And I think to the extent that people are going to fall back on saying the FE exam is the FE exam and there is no equivalent, you effectively get back to this argument, is there a waiver available or is there not? And so what I'm trying to get at here is, if you've got a junior engineer that doesn't have registration somewhere else or doesn't have years of experience, then the FE is an appropriate thing to request. But if you've got somebody that's got 15 years of experience in another jurisdiction and they have the appropriate examinations in place, and that particular jurisdiction doesn't have an FE exam, it would bind the hands of the board to say this jurisdiction has a different certification process for their chartered status. And I think the board could or should have some degree of discretion in those cases.
Right. So the thought of here, if I understand correctly your question, right now the board allows for one jurisdiction, Canadian PEs, PNGs, to basically come into Washington State and have to take the PE exam. And it allows that the FE exam basically is equivalent of their work statement. And the attempt here is to allow for folks that are coming in from foreign jurisdictions to as well provide that same definition of equivalency to the FE and allow them to still come into Washington State if they have not taken the NCWS PE exam, but they are licensed in a foreign jurisdiction that has an examination process, that we would waive or accept that as an equivalent for the FE. They would still have to take and successfully pass the NCWS PE exam, unless they already have, obviously, but it allows them to come in and not have to take the FE exam. So it's basically extending what we have currently for the PNG into multiple foreign jurisdictions. And that was an attempt to, in my understanding of why this WAC revision was brought forward, is to move so we can accept more equivalent exams from other foreign jurisdictions other than Canada.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, there will be a form that they'll have to, applicants will have to fill out to not prove, but to show that the exam is equivalent.
But your comment's good. Thank you. And we will address it. I know that the board is reviewing the potential of a waiver for folks that are already practicing as PEs that have significant level of experience under another, you know, board within the U.S. And so the board is looking at that in a separate entity. But because of our law right now, we still have to have two exams as approved by the board, the fundamentals and the professional.
If I can add a separate question. If you've previously been granted a waiver by Washington State and you wanted to increase from civil, would that waiver still be grandfathered in that case?
No, we don't do that. We used to, but we don't now, unless it's a waiver or something that shows if they came from a foreign jurisdiction and took an equivalent exam, or they can prove that they have an equivalent exam, you know, but while they're working on their PE or whatever. And we've looked at those before too. That, and as you stated, that is a very difficult hurdle to pass because there isn't anything quite like the NCWS FE exam out there for folks that are in the United States. It's so encompassing. So,
but the way I understood your question, if you're already licensed as a PE in Washington as, let's say, civil, and you want to go for the structural exam. Right?
Yeah, if you're already licensed in Washington, yeah. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. If you're already licensed in Washington and you want to take the SE, if you were licensed in another state and had the waiver,
All right. Well, at least we got it cleared up.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Next I have that wants to make a comment is Jeff Hubble. So Jeff, if you could tell me, I will grab contact information if you want to receive the concise explanatory statement.
Sure.
I can either get your contact information. Are you licensed PE?
I'm a licensed PE and SE in Washington State.
Do you want me just to get your contact information off your license record?
Sure. Yeah, it should be just jeff@casperphillips.com. So,
Casper, okay. All right.
I'm also a registered PNG up in Canada. I had questions, but the prior speaker raised one of them, which is for my friends up in Canada, it looks to me, and maybe somebody can clarify that, but on the FE exam, right, section AI under, you know, near the top page, but that one appears that you've eliminated the exemption for Canadians, and then you say, or an exam, an equivalent examination, right, as determined by the board.
Right.
Isn't that going to eliminate the Canadians being able to, because they don't have to take an FE exam to get their PN?
Right. The option here was to expand it beyond Canadian, the similar exception that we have for PNGs from Canada. We wanted to move that exception to other countries as well, Philippines, other countries that license professional engineers in their countries that have taken examination steps like the ENG up in Canada through your, you know, the colleges and programs and the steps that you went through to get to your license. We're going to accept those as well.
The
it wasn't to reduce the Canadians out of this exception. It was to allow other countries, other foreigns that could prove similar type of rigor that the Canadian system has.
Okay, that's interesting because I understand the intent. It's just the way that it's worded would lead you to, because my understanding of the Canadian system is you don't take a fundamentals. You take you take a general test on laws and ethics, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
With a degree, obviously they check your experience, but they don't have an equivalent of the FE exam up there. So there's no final test, if you will. They do obviously have to have, you know, a degree in engineering or the related activity that they're being licensed for.
No, that's a very valid point. And Shannon, we should address that and assure with the board that. So we will address that, and there may be a modification to clarify that. I can see your point. We don't want to eliminate the Canadian PNGs from coming in. We want to expand it into other countries, and we want to make sure that that's clearly stated in one place or another. I'm not clear where that would be, if it's here or in a policy or whatever, but yes, I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I just look at the wording, you know, again, and I go like, that I understand, I totally get your intent, but I don't think that the current wording quite gets you there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good comment. We'll address that for sure. Yeah.
Okay. My only other question realistically was on the, I see a lot of changes throughout this thing, and some of them are just tidying and cleaning things up. But one of the things that was under WAC 196-12-020 work experience records. And you have item 2 that got fully eliminated. And I just want to understand the rationale or the reasoning behind eliminating that paragraph.
Okay, let me get to it. Oh, because that's it. I can answer that one. We got rid of that because we have a new section for structural engineering.
Okay, so I did see the section down below, and it looks like some parts kind of went back and forth on repeating each other, basically. But now you're saying so that section 196-12-047 takes the place of that paragraph?
I think it's 047, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it expanded on it a little bit.
That was our attempt, is to get it into a separate category and paragraph so that we could clean it up and be more specific.
Yes. And I did appreciate the change for some of our younger ones about and located in the International Building Code siding design category D or above. I much prefer the way that the way you have it changed for projects in similar regions, similar to those located in Washington mm-hmm. State. Very much agree with those changes. And the basic current the current set of rules I think is pretty good. So the rest of the changes I didn't have any concern. I was just wondering why that whole section got eliminated.
Okay, we'll make sure we comment that, but that was our attempt. I think they did a really good job with it. But certainly, if you don't mind going through it again, and if you find something, send us it in writing, then we can at least address it.
Yeah, no, I'll go over this a little bit more, but I just like I said, I wanted to understand the intent, and then also as a PN and having other engineers up in Canada wanting to be able to work with us on projects, getting that FE thing in there so it doesn't restrict Canadians, I think would be really helpful.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's all I have for you guys right now.
Okay. Those were the only two people that indicated they wanted to speak. And I know a couple people were going to wait and see what was said. Does anybody else have any comments? Oh, Richard has another comment.
I think we're piggybacking on the same topic as the prior person. I noticed that Texas Board of Engineers has a mutual recognition agreement with Engineers Australia, Canadian engineers. Perhaps one of the things that may help you in this situation is to actually establish mutual recognition agreements with the engineering boards from these other countries that would allow you to say this is an equivalent process or an equivalent to your FE exam. To allow people to have waivers from on a country by country or a board by board basis of who you think is appropriate, and that way you can vet people on a broad basis rather than having to make exceptions for individuals.
Yeah, I like the idea of maybe mentioning those mutual agreements, and we could put those on our website or something. So if we add more, we don't have to go to a WAC revision. But I like that idea.
Okay. So does anybody else have any comments? Miles, Andrew, Alan, Pat.
Yeah, come on. You're a big game players with big sticks. Come on.
Nope.
Okay. Oh, Alan has a question? Oh, somebody typed something in chat. Sorry. Keep on getting a look there. Let's see. Does Washington accept an NCWS record for experience? And if not, why not? Yes, we do. Except for structural. And the reason that they don't accept an NCWS experience record for structural is because there's not enough information provided in the NCWS record. The board felt that there was not enough information provided for structural that we require. Yes. We even accept NCWS records for examinees now. So. Except for structural. I always have to make that little comment. Yes. Okay. And does anybody else have any questions?
This is Jeff Hubble. I don't have any questions. I just did want to throw out my appreciation for your staff there on WAC 196-12-045. Under that one, it says licenses may be issued only in branches of engineering currently recognized by the board. That was the change from offered to currently recognized. And I couldn't find that list, and it didn't exist on the website. And the staff there kindly put one together and posted it, and I very much appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for checking in with us and helping us become more complete and better at what we do. We're really growing quickly and cleaning up some of our past lack of information, I think, and cleaning up some of the double information that's out there. So anything you can do to help us, we really appreciate it.
No, it was good. It clearly delineates what's being overseen by the board and what isn't. So that I appreciated that.
Okay.
Well, I have to ask this as well. Is there anyone else in attendance who wishes to provide comments on proposed changes to WAC chapter 196-12? And hearing none. We really want to thank you for all your comments, and the board will consider all comments and questions and determine whether revisions to proposed rules are needed. If no substantial changes are made, the board will prepare a concise explanatory statement for each rule filing summarizing all matters presented today, including all the oral and written comments received regarding the proposed rules, and respond to them by category or subject matter. Copies of the concise explanatory statement will be forwarded to all those who have made oral or written comments and provided contact information. It is now 1:42 p.m. and this hearing is now adjourned. So you can turn the recording off and we can pop the cork and celebrate, because and we'll make changes, I promise, and get back to you guys. This was a long process our board's gone through, and any help and any correction or editing is helpful. So thank you.
No, appreciate all the effort, guys.